So I just thought I'd go through some scriptures that help to lay a foundation on healing. So Numbers 23, verse 19. God is not a man that he should lie. That's an important thing to settle, right? God is not a man that he should lie. And so what it's saying is God can't lie, right? So can God do anything he wants?
This is one of those loaded questions, and I fully believe that he can, but he won't.
Because he's already said he wouldn't. Because if he said he wouldn't lie, then he'll never lie.
Right.
So if he says something in his word, we can take it to the bank, right? He won't lie. And if he's limited himself to work through certain ways, he's going to work through those ways, even though he could change everything, start over, right?
So, not to mention he needs us, the body, to
do. Because that's his plan, right? He has planned to work through human beings. That's true. And if he's going to heal somebody on the earth, he's going to work through a human being to do it. So let me ask you a question. When did sickness start?
In the fall.
There was no sickness in the garden, right? Because it was very good. So at the fall. So all sickness and disease happened as a consequence of what?
Sin.
So when Jesus took care of sin on the cross, what else did he take care of?
Sickness
and disease. So when did Jesus take care of sickness and disease? At the cross. At the whipping and the cross, right? Mm-hmm. And so every sickness on the face of the earth since Jesus was crucified and rose from the dead has been dealt with. It does not have to be here. In fact, it says at the end, when you go through Deuteronomy, you get to Deuteronomy 28, and it has the blessings and then the curses. At the end of the curses, it says that every sickness and disease, whether written in the law or not written in the law, are under the curse of the law. So every sickness on the face of the earth is under the curse of the law. And so in Galatians chapter 3, verse 13, it says Jesus Christ hath, past tense, redeemed us from the curse of the law. So Jesus has redeemed all sickness and disease on the face of the earth. So all sin has been taken care of 2,000 years ago at the cross. All judgment against sin was taken care of 2,000 years ago at the cross. Jesus, go read Hebrews. I mean, it's all through this. By one sacrifice, Jesus put away sin forever. If the blood of bulls and goats could cleanse them for a year, how much more would the blood of Jesus Christ cleanse your conscience so that you wouldn't have no more conscience of sin? And so sin's been taken care of at the cross. Sickness has been taken care of at the cross. Poverty's been taken care of. There was no poverty. They could eat of every tree they wanted to except one in the garden. All poverty was taken care of at the cross. Every human ill was taken care of at the cross. And so one of the most important principles in healing to remember is that it's already been done. And so, like someone on the phone just the other day says, I believe God can heal. Unfortunately, I didn't have time to unpack that for him at that time. I just let it go, you know. But normally I'll say, I don't believe that. If someone would say to me, God can heal, I don't believe that. And then hopefully, then they'll say, well, what do you mean? Because God already healed. You know, I believe it's God's will to heal. I don't believe that. Because he already did it, right? Why would I be looking for God's will to heal if he already did it 2,000 years ago? Mm-hmm. If he took care of sin and sickness at the cross, then it was his will to heal every sickness and disease on the face of the earth. So,
well, the person has to initially accept Christ.
Not necessarily.
I mean, really? They don't have to accept Christ? That's when they embrace all that he did on the cross? Without accepting that, they're not embracing what he did. Right?
Well, you know what? He took care of it for everyone. He took care of every sin. Every human being, he's the good news. We're always told the bad news. Turn or burn, sinner. You know what I mean? Slap him with a Bible, get him the. No, the good news is Jesus already paid the penalty for my sin and for my sickness. So I could, and I know of people who aren't saved that have been healed. You don't have to be a believer to be healed. You can be healed. Because if they receive it, they're open to receive it, healing can happen. And hopefully it will open up the door for them to accept Jesus. You know, but like you said, it's the faith of the person praying for them. They just have to be open to receive it. You know?
Well, who's to say who's not saved because we're limited by time? That person may have already been saved.
They could have as a child. We don't, and it's not fair to me to look into their...
Something that maybe you, if you hung around them, you'd see that transpire 5 years down the road or something. And yet, I like to know with my eyes and my ears that they're saved and walking with God, that they've got a secure place.
That's the most important thing. You know, you could get your body healed and...
And if your soul is not saved, that's...
You're not going to care about your body in 10,000 years.
Yeah, it's a sad state of affairs.
It's true. I don't think the people who went to Jesus to be healed were saved yet.
Yeah.
Because when you read the story in Mark 5 about the one who was living amongst the tombs, he was possessed by an evil spirit.
Yeah, that's true. He was delivered.
He was delivered, yeah.
That's true. Many of Jesus' healings were deliverance from demonic oppression. So one of the most important things to settle is when did Jesus take care of sickness and disease? Because if he already took care of it 2,000 years ago, when I work with someone to try to bring healing to them, am I trying to get God to heal them? Or am I trying to release something God already did? One's a dead work, one's a work of faith. You know, and so if I've settled that I've already been healed, it's a different conversation with God. Then I need to settle once and for all, God can't lie, so his word is true. So if it says it in the word, whether I see the manifestation of it or not, it still is true. There's something else going on if I don't see the full manifestation. And in Matthew 24:35, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. So he's showing that his word is more real, more is a higher level of truth than the very earth that we stand on. Does the Bible speak of a greater reality than this physical world?
Yes.
And why is that?
The creator of the physical world
is from the spirit world. There's a perfect spiritual imprint of the physical world. And this is important because, you know, when a person becomes a believer, in the spirit world, there's a perfect, we're a new creature. So our spirit man is recreated in Christ Jesus and seated in heavenly places, the Bible says. And so we have a perfect imprint of who we are in the spirit. And so our healing is receiving the manifestation of that perfect imprint in the physical. It's that simple. So, would someone read John chapter 14, 1 through 3 and verse 12, please?
Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father.
So why does believing in Jesus keep our heart from being troubled rather than just believing in God?
I think he's got works that we can see. I mean, it's hard to perceive Jesus's his image, you know, his perfect image.
He's knowable.
Yeah.
You know, it's really interesting that Jesus says, "Let not your heart be troubled." So he's saying we don't have to be troubled. And he's saying, you already believe in God, but your heart's troubled, right? He's saying, let not your heart be troubled, you believe in God. Well, they're troubled, and they believe in God. Believe also in me. So believing in Jesus gives us a comfort and a confidence that frees our heart from being troubled. And it's because God came. God came. God settled everything. God fixed everything. In fact, God is even here in the person of Jesus by his Holy Spirit. And so it's the Jesus part of God that fixed everything. And so we don't have to be troubled because God, by the Holy Spirit, knows what we're dealing with. He's already worked out an answer. He's taken care of the heavy lifting 2,000 years ago and sent his Holy Spirit to manifest it in the natural today. And so we can just... believing in Jesus calms our heart because God is here.
Well, if you look at the God in the Old Testament, I know they're the same, but if you look at the God in the Old Testament, he can be pretty scary sometimes. And if you just look at Jesus, he is not scary. He's wonderful.
It's not like he's never scary in the New Testament. I mean, through Acts, when the people, you know, are dishonest about how much they're giving and they just drop dead.
That's pretty scary. Okay.
Yeah, it depends on the moment.
But you know, that's the New Testament. That's really not Jesus. I mean, right? Jesus is gone then. But you're right, you could go there.
Only if you're a moneylender in the temple. you might have gotten whipped a little bit. So anyway, God with us makes a big difference. God with us makes a big difference. So there, in this, he also talks about that he was going to prepare a place for us to receive us to himself, and we would be with him forever. Why is it important, when you're thinking about healing, to have an eternal perspective? What do you think? Because he's telling them, you're going to live forever with me. Yeah.
Diminishes what we're going through right now. I mean, this is only a little blip.
It's only a blip, you know?
It's not going to last forever. Right?
It doesn't manifest.
We'll be with him forever in a perfect body. So the cool thing is, if we get healed, we win. And when we die, we win. If we don't get healed, we don't necessarily win that battle. So we lose that battle, but when we die, we win. So no matter whether we win or lose, we win. And so the important perspective is, no matter what happens, as a believer in Jesus, we win. And we win for eternity. And so no matter what the devil brings at us, we can rub his face in the fact that we'll be with Jesus for eternity. Where will you be? So, but ultimately, having that peace and that strength actually helps healing to manifest more and more here in the now. So are we supposed to do the works that Jesus did?
Yes.
Yes.
And greater.
And even greater.
It would certainly seem that if you were to do those works, it would give you greater confidence in what you said too. And make you feel more part of that eternal place that's there.
Well, you're seeing a piece of heaven on earth. You're seeing the kingdom of heaven manifest in the earth. One of the greater works is Jesus never led anyone to Christ. Right? And so that's the biggest miracle of all, right? Being born of the Spirit. And he left that for us. You know. I hear a lot of stories, though, about Jesus appearing to people in the Muslim countries where we can't get there with the gospel. I've saw a number of them with their faces blacked out. You know, talking about their testimony. So Jesus has led people to Jesus in Muslim countries.
Paul?
He led Paul to, yeah, that's true. That's pretty cool. Although he had Ananias go and lay hands on him. So he uses us whenever we're available.
Yeah.
Now, one of the things that's really confused about praying for the sick or even receiving our own healing is that Jesus said, things I do, you will do also. And we don't do what he did quite often. Jesus never prayed for someone to be well. He never prayed for the sick. He always commanded sickness to leave because he looked at sickness as an invader into his world. He commanded sickness to get out of a body. He spoke to things. He laid hands on things. He didn't pray for the sick. He told demons to get out. So a lot of Christians pray for the sick and wonder why we don't have the results Jesus had. And so one of the important things to remember is to, when we're in a situation, do what Jesus did. Because if we don't do what he did, we won't have the results that he had for sure. Because he says, the things I do, you will do also. He didn't say, the things I do, if you pray like I did it, you're going to get what I, you know? And so, now there is time to pray because we don't know. The prayer of faith can save the sick. There's verses that say that. And so there's times to pray. Like if I'm not with someone or they didn't ask me, I'll pray, you know, for them. Lord, I don't know what they're wrestling with. Please help them. Please send someone across their path with the gospel and with healing, you know. I'll pray. But if someone asks me, would you pray for me for my back or pray for me for my whatever, I'm going to speak to it the way Jesus did. And here's a couple examples. Would someone read Mark chapter 1, verses 30 to 31, and then Luke chapter 4, verse 39?
Simon's wife's mother lay sick with a fever, and they told him about her at once. So he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up, and immediately the fever left her, and she served them. So he stood over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her. And immediately she arose and served them.
So, you know, when you read the Gospels, you know, each Gospel writer is going to write it in a way that the Spirit was leading that person to write and what was important to them. And so Mark wrote that Jesus touched her. And Luke wrote that he rebuked the fever. And so Luke was a physician, which is very interesting. So what we do when we encounter sickness is we lay hands on the sick and we rebuke the sickness. And rebuke does not mean, please come out. you know, headache, leave in Jesus' name, firmly, right? And so it has an air of authority, and the devil and sickness respond to authority. And finally, we'll end with Mark 16, verses 18 through 20. Would someone read that?
And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. So then, after the Lord has spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. And they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word through the accompanying signs. Amen.
Okay. And so is healing for all believers? These are the signs that follow them that believe in my name. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Maybe recover? Shall recover. So if I'm working with someone who's ill, if they will work with me until we see it manifest, I'll work with them if it takes a year. Until it manifests, you know, because it takes time sometimes to clear the tracks to receive. And so for faith to come alive in a situation, to be released. And sometimes, you know, we're a society that expects everything instantly. And sometimes it takes longer. I remember I was in a healing line at a church that we were in ministry, we weren't pastoring at the time, we were kind of helping with adult education. the pastor asked me to pray for this guy who was a diver in the Chicago Fire Department, and he had pneumonia. And there was a group of us praying, and I was praying, and the group moved on. But I didn't feel released. I didn't feel a manifestation. I didn't feel like God. Sometimes you don't feel the presence of God. It's just, God's just working with them. You feel nothing. And sometimes when I was praying for Bob Roseman, he had a tremendous manifestation. I felt nothing, you know, but the next day he was like completely healed, right? But with this person, I just did not feel released. So I just kept thanking Jesus and saying, Jesus, you are the great healer. I want to thank you for healing Doug. Thank you for, we received the manifestation. I thank you. This is no big thing for you. And so I felt to come down and the presence of God touch him, go right through him. And he fell over. But there were no catchers. I mean, the catchers had moved. This was the kind of church that had catchers. And everybody moved on, and they just left me with him, right? And so he goes down under the power, and there's no catcher. But if God puts you on the floor, he can catch you, right? And so, and you don't have to fall to receive a healing, right? We receive by faith, not by falling. You know what I mean? And so, but there was a guy a couple rows back who saw him start to fall, so went to catch him. And as he caught him, the presence of God jumped into him and healed his back. He was a landscaper with a really bad back, and he was healed. So there were two healings from that one person. And I didn't even know what happened. I was over at a restaurant, and the landscaper came by and bumped into me and told me the story. You know, so you know, sometimes we just wait, because there's different things that try to prevent our healing. The enemy tries to stop it. We don't feel worthy. A lot of times we don't feel worthy. One of the big resistances to receiving healing as the person being prayed for is we don't feel worthy. Or we received our healing the first time and the devil had all that ground lost and he's going to send someone, you keep that person from being healed this time because we lost this ground over here. We're not going to lose it again. And so he takes one of his servants off of someone else and puts them on you to keep your healing from happening. So, you know, we don't see what's going on in the spirit realm. But if we can always wait out the devil because he has limited resources and we have God. And I've been in churches where they soak in prayer. Sometimes they'll sit for a couple hours with someone waiting for everything to line up for the healing to manifest. I mean, I've heard say the quicker the healing, the bigger the faith. That's not necessarily true. Even Jesus prayed for someone twice. And I'm glad that he did, because it gives us permission to pray more than once. Pray for. Remember the guy that was blind and he asked, do you see? And he said, I see men walking like trees. Mm-hmm. He prayed for him again. That he didn't pray for him. That's the expression we use. He commanded his sight to come through a second time, and it did. You know. So, any questions about healing principles?
The things that can block your healing, such as unforgiveness.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And you could be, as a Christian, not demon possessed, but you can be oppressed.
You can.
Depressed. Those spirits are in you. They need to be healed.
You do.
Yeah,
they can have their claws in you.
First so you can receive that.
Devil goes to church.
Mm-hmm.
Goes to church with believers.
You can block that because they have that legal right to be there.
If we give it to them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it's caused by sin, or sin that's been placed on you. It could be someone, generational curses.
It can.
It could be someone who maybe have dealt with some type of witchcraft,
mm-hmm.
sexual abuse.
A grandparent. Or it can be.
Yeah.
It can go way back.
Way back.
I mean, we're all tied to Adam, and we've now left the blood of Adam, and we're in the blood of Jesus, the bloodline of Jesus. You know, so those are broken, but we have to know that we have that authority. Unforgiveness is huge, and then bitterness. I remember there was a lady that I was, you know, spending time with praying for, and she had a blockage in her colon. And on Father's Day, she just stopped going entirely. And she was so bitter against her ex for leaving her with three kids and splitting. And she just would not let it go. That bitter. And she was a really strong Christian in every way except that problem. She wouldn't let it go. And I, Pat, Father's Day. You know? And she just got worse and worse. She would not let that bitterness go, unforgiveness. And it was maybe 6 months later, her son told me at the funeral that he said, "Mom, you're suffering so much. Why don't you just go home?" And he felt the presence of Jesus come in the room. And her, she hadn't sat up for like a month. She sits up, raises her hands, and leaves with Jesus. So she lost. She just couldn't see herself letting the guy off the hook. Right? But she still believed in Jesus, and Jesus loved her and took her to heaven with him, right? So she lost, but she won. And it was quite a testimony for her son that he experienced a good death, right?
Yeah.
Someone going into the arms of Jesus. You did, yeah. So we ultimately win. But it's good to win-win.
Yeah.